Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
So he's offering them a freedom from the oppressive power of sin and excessive self-interest. So what's he doing? He's telling all of us, he is the only one and true way to freedom. He's the only way to get there. We can't get it ourselves. So what is Jesus saying? You can't get freedom yourself. You can't get heaven yourself, but I can get it for you. I can get it for you.
In today's message, Pastor Jim focuses on the kind of freedom that you simply can't manufacture on your own. Left to your own devices, you're locked into the oppressive power of sin and caught up in an endless cycle of self-interest. Jesus steps into that trap and explicitly offers a way out, establishing himself as the single path to breaking those heavy chains. You can't buy your way into heaven or fix your own broken nature, no matter how hard you try. And that's exactly why Jesus went to the cross. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 1 as he continues his message, The Clear Path to Freedom.
John 1:17 says this, "See, I was no longer under the law, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." What was I doing? I was walking in grace, not in truth. And grace is more powerful than the law, for sure. Now, I don't drink anymore, right? Pam and I decided after we were married 10 years, we didn't want to drink anymore. Appears to be in the Bible that you can have a drink, but you shouldn't be drunk. It's up to you. It's a choice that you make. Some of us here in Calvary Chapel, it's one of the things we love about Calvary Chapel. There's so many great drinkers. So we don't drink anymore, right? But, that's it. Anyway, next. Did they really trust Jesus? Look at verse 33. "They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage,'" some versions say enslaved, "'to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" So Jesus struck a nerve with these guys. And they, in our way of talking, they're like, "What are you talking about? Or you're an idiot." In their mind, they were free. And here the religious leaders, although they were under Roman occupation, okay, right? They just think that they're fine. Now, so many nations, this is the way it would go. God would warn them. They would not pay attention to God. And other nations would take them over or take them away captive or something like that. But yet, they were fine with it. They said, "We are Abraham's descendant," or some versions say, "the seed of Abraham." What are they saying? We're God's children. We're royalty. We don't care about all these other people. We don't care about what's going on. But here's something that we all need to understand. God the Father did not send Jesus to add to their religion. He's not an add-on. If you're here and you consider yourself a religious person, you're probably ready to kill me now. I get it. It's only going to get worse from here, by the way. But anyway, okay, he didn't send Jesus here to add to your religion. He did not. He sent Jesus as the Savior to those who know they need a Savior. That's why he sent them. That's why he sent them. And he's going to teach us in some very difficult ways today, as we go along, that we need a Savior. The Old Testament prophet Amos wrote these words. Amos 3:2a, we call it. And we're only going to read the first half. We're going to pause. You only have I known or chosen of all the families of the earth. That's what he says to the Jewish people. Now, if you heard that, you'd be like, "We're good, baby, right? This is good. We're the people." Okay? But sometimes we read Bible verses and we stop. Do you ever do that? You're like, "I like the first half. I don't like the second half." Listen to what the second half says. "Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities." Right? Okay, so I'm going to punish you for all your sins. Now, in other words, you're my kids, but I'm going to punish you. Now, those of you who've raised kids, if you never punish them, okay, Just send me a, you know, text and I'll go visit them in jail. Right? You have to discipline your kids. Do you know that? All the kids hate me now. Okay? Right? You have to discipline your kids. We used to have this all the time with my kids. Pam would call me at work and she'd say, "You wouldn't believe what your son did today." Now we have two boys. I never had to ask which one it was because he's just like his father. Like I have a little brother, he's the good child, right? Yeah, we toasted him at my sister's wedding. I toasted him to the good child, and my sister yelled out, "Amen," right? Okay, so I would get home and she'd send him up to his room and I'd be at the table and she'd be like, "Come on, you got to go discipline him." And I'm like, "Okay." She's like, "Come on, what are you waiting for?" I go, "I got to get mad." apple falls far from the tree sometimes, you know. So God's like, "You're my kids, but I'm going to discipline you." It seems that their freedom was a spiritual reality, despite the fact that so many times they disobeyed God and God used another nation to come in and, you know, wreak havoc on them and take a lot of them captive. Now, during Jesus' time, there were rioters against Rome, but the religious people were like, "Who cares about the Romans? We're God's chosen people." So that's why they come back with, "How can you say you will be made free?" They're getting angry. This chapter is so important because Jesus is providing for us the reason why they want to kill him. We're going to see this through and through. The problem is they're blind to what's really going on. They are living in darkness and don't even know they're living in darkness. And I bet every one of you knows someone who really is living in darkness and doesn't even know it. And guess what? You might be the answer for them. Maybe they're just waiting for somebody to come to them and tell them how to get out of the darkness. And you do it with compassion, you do it with grace, and maybe you even have to offer some of your own help. John 3:19. Now remember John 3:16? Everybody loves that verse. John 3:19, everybody hates this verse. Okay? And this is the condemnation or judgment or verdict, that light has come into the world. Who's the light?
Jesus.
Very good. And men or people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Evil. And so Jesus confronts them in their security, telling them, "Listen, you guys are on shaky ground thinking you're automatically going to inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 34 to 36, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly," or "truly, truly." What does that mean when it says "truly, truly"?
Very important.
Very good. Okay. "I say to you, whoever or everyone commits sin is a slave of sin." Okay. So let's just stop there for a second. Do any of you sin? Yeah, okay, the rest of you liars, so you sin, right? So you are a slave to sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. Slavery was different in the ancient world, okay? So please make sure when people talk to you about, "Well, there's slavery in the Bible, so that's why all this, the slave owners in the South did all that stuff." No, okay? You could go to the doctor, you could go to the lawyer, you could go to any kind of professional, and they might be a slave. Why? Because they were in financial debt. So a lot of people had to sell themselves as slaves to work for somebody for a while. So what is he saying here is that a slave has no permanent place in the family because eventually they will be set free. Now, was there other slavery that was not good? Yes, okay. But a son abides forever. Therefore, if you have your own Bible, that's why you got to bring your own Bible. So I hate having the words up on the screen sometimes, all right? If, circle that word, if, the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So what does Jesus say? This freedom that I'm offering to you is a gift from Jesus to all those who put their faith and trust in him and follow after him. Now you say, well, why did you add follow? To abide, to abide. Jesus seems to either agree with the political stuff or he just skips over it. It's not that important to him. He says to them essentially this. Now remember, these are people from deep religious heritage. That was a passed down thing through the family. Your religious heritage is not freedom. Not freedom. Why? He tells them, because you guys are a slave to sin. You are unable to escape the controlling power of sin. That's what he's telling them. Fair to say, the practice of sin enslaves people, and sin is a moral failure and a rebellion to God. So, it is in Jesus that true freedom is found. And remember again, that word slave, words change meaning over time. Every once in a while, I hear a word pop out of some young person's mouth, and I go, could you tell me what that means? And they tell me, I go, okay. And they go, why? I go, not what it meant when I was your age, okay? So we want to be really careful. Words change meaning over time. And what happened in the southern part of our country was a complete disaster. Complete. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Okay, now Jesus is not denying their relationship to God, but Jesus is saying to them, you still have the sinful nature. Now, that's not a popular message today, is it? People don't want to hear that. But they don't know what the comparison is. And we go over this a lot because I want you guys to realize that you have to tell this to people. The comparison is not comparing, you know, you to me. Well, I am pretty good compared to you. Sorry. I'm only picking on him. Say, I'm sitting in the front row, you get picked on. I won't pick on you, don't worry. Okay. And but you get picked on, right? But anyway, so the comparison is to a holy God. So for all of us, the comparison of our nature to a holy God is we sin because we are sinners. That's why it's important that our sin on the cross is put on Jesus and his righteousness is put on us. Now, would the religious leaders be offended by this? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because they're the holier-than-thou guys, right? As they're planning to kill Jesus, as they're stealing from the people, all of these things. And Jesus, what did he just do? Remember we said in an earlier study that they hated the people of the dirt? That would be the Jewish people who worked out in the fields. Well, now, basically, Jesus is comparing them to the unholy Gentiles, the non-Jews. Again, angry, angry, angry. And then he's using metaphors in verse 35 to explain the difference between a slave, and there was lots of slaves in the Roman Empire, and a son. But notice he uses the word son singular, okay? It seems Jesus is talking about those who are adopted into the family of God. He's not talking about those who think they're born into it. They are adopted into the family of God. And it's so important that we think about these things, and we are adopted into the family of God through how? Faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus did all the work. Basically, we have to say what? I want it. I want it, right? And then we agree with God that we are sinners and we put our faith and trust in him. So Jesus here is in a lot of ways using slavery as a metaphor for sin and death. And what's he saying? I can set you free. That's what he's saying. I can set you free. I can change this in your life, and that will change your eternal destination. So verse 36, he's clear. He's the son that offers freedom. And then he's saying, and they don't have it. That you guys will never enter into eternal life in the house of the Lord. So he's offering them a freedom from the oppressive power of sin and excessive self-interest. So what's he doing? He's telling all of them, he's telling all of us, he is the only one and true way to freedom. He's the only way to get there. We can't get it ourselves. So what is Jesus saying? You can't get freedom yourself. You can't get heaven yourself. but I can get it for you. I can get it for you. And I can get you this freedom. I can get you security, get you the forgiveness of sin, get you eternal life, and to be a true son or daughter of God, okay? You must put your faith in Jesus Christ, okay, to enter into his house in heaven. And I wonder, if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, do you want that? I'm not making this stuff up. I mean, Jesus is telling us, you know, what it is. Verse 37 and 38. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, okay? He says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants. So Jesus agrees with them. He's not going to disagree with them on that. And he says, but you seek to kill me. He's like, if I agree with you, why do you seek to kill me? And then look what he says, because my word has no place in you, or it finds no place to you. Now let's think about who he's talking to. Do you know a lot of these guys had the entire Old Testament memorized? I mean, some of us don't even remember what we had for breakfast, right? They had the Old Testament memorized, and Jesus says, oh, it's in your brain, but guess where it's not? It's not in your heart. Verse 38, I speak what I have seen with my Father. The idea is in eternity. And you do what you have seen and heard, or you have seen, some verses say heard, with your Father. Now, wait a minute. What did he just say? He just said we have different fathers. Now, some of them are going, I know what he's talking about. Others are going, what's he talking about? Right? So Jesus is agreeing with them. Yes, you have a unique role in God's plan, but as captives to sin, you still need the new birth. Do you see that religion is not going to guarantee you anything? You could be born into a religious family. Great, fine, whatever. Right? But you need the new birth, as we saw in John chapter 3. And he says, if you were a spiritual child of Abraham, okay, you would not want to kill me. But what's the problem? The problem is the word of God, the mission of God, the person of Jesus Christ is not part of them. It's not in you, he's saying. Jeremiah 9:26, in the second part of the verse says this. God's talking about the nations who don't worship him. And he says, for all these nations are uncircumcised. That means they were not part of God's people, okay? And that's why they look down on those people as uncircumcised Philistines and stuff like that. They look down on those people. But then look what he says next. And all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. He's basically saying, you're in a worse place than they are. I mean, they don't know much or anything. But you have everything you need to know to make the right decision. But you're not. You need to think very, very carefully about where you stand with God. You can read more about that and the circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit in Galatians and Romans. Jesus' statement, my word has or finds no place in you, tells us that religious privilege guarantees us nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, it makes you more accountable. The problem is not that Abraham, who lived 2,000 years ago, can you imagine this? They're talking about some guy who's not Jesus, who lived 2,000 years ago. He says, that's not the problem. You are his descendants. I acknowledge that. The problem is we have a different father. Verse 39 to 41. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. If you were like Abraham, you would do what he did. But now you seek to kill me, or you're trying to kill me, or looking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds or the works of your father. Still hasn't divulged the name of daddy, has he? Okay, it's a coming. So right now, a lot of them are starting to figure out what he's talking about. And listen to what they say to him. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. Now, some of you are new to the Bible, you know, I don't know what that word means. Sexual immorality. We have one Father, God. So, they're listening and they're like, all right, Jesus, let's be clear on this. All right, let me, you know, it's a funny thing when people want to correct God, right? Okay. Abraham is our father. And Jesus replies, well, okay, maybe physically, but if he was really your father, you'd be one spiritually. We call it like father, like son, right? Okay. So Jesus is saying, your behavior is nothing like Abraham's. Nothing like Abraham's. Implying that Jesus was there, right? You can read about a little bit of Romans 4, but your behavior is nothing like God the Father. Now, Abraham, right, called Abram at the beginning, did not understand everything God was doing. Okay, do you understand everything God is doing? No. You got to be kidding me. You know, this is where being a pastor is just a ridiculous job. You know, you try to bring comfort to people, right? And they're like, oh, thank you so much. It was so nice to talk to you. And you get off the phone and you're like, God, what are you kidding me? Like, this is, I don't get it. Honestly, a lot of the stuff that goes on, I don't get it. I don't get it. Now, I know in the long run, it's going to be fine. But in the temporary, it's like, man, this is just so hard. Now, I realize God is building in us a lot of stuff. He's conforming us into the image of Christ. And you can't deny that. I mean, for the last 3 years of his life, well, he had all these people wanting to kill him, right? At least most of us don't have people want to kill us. Maybe some Sundays I do. But anyway, right? And so, but yet, Abraham did not know what God was doing. But what did he do? He trusted God. He trusted God. And that's a big thing, loved ones, that God wants you to trust him when you do not know what's going on. To say, God, I know you have a big plan, and I may understand it in this life, but I may not understand it till the next life, but I'm willing to trust you through this. Two verses from Abraham. You might want to jot these down because this will get you through the whole next week, maybe. Genesis 15:6. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, accounted it or credited to him for righteousness. Now, do you know what that is? That's the gospel before the law of Moses. Okay? So when people talk about the law of Moses, you go, no, we had the gospel first. He trusted God. He had no idea what was going on. God said to him, go over there. And he's like, okay. Why am I going over there? Just go, Mo. Just go, Abraham. Sorry, not Moses, Abraham. Just go, Abe, right? And he's like, okay. And he went. Now, did Abraham make a lot of mistakes? He did. He did. But God still counted him as righteous. Then, years later, him and his wife, God promised them a child, a son, and they're old, right? And so, there's this, guys come to visit Abraham and Sarah, and we believe it's what we call a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they appear to Abraham, and they promise him a son, right? They're like 190 or something like that, right? And so Sarah's in the tent laughing. She's like, I'm old as dirt, man. I ain't having no baby. And listen to what the Lord says. Genesis 8:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? How about that? You make a lot of mistakes and you trust God. And Abraham says, God counted him as righteous. And you still make more mistakes. And God comes to you and says, is anything too hard for me?
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. We hope and pray that Pastor Jim's simple and passionate verse-by-verse, line-by-line teaching through the Gospel of John is growing you in your Christian faith. Would you like to hear this message again? Simply log on to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. There, you can listen to archived broadcasts, load our mobile app, as well as listen to Pastor Jim's easy-to-follow verse-by-verse teaching on much of the Bible. Make sure you tell your friends and family about Changed by Love on this station, as well as how to listen to Pastor Jim on our website and mobile app. Changed by Love is a listener-supported ministry that exists due to the generosity of people like you. Just go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org, and hit the donate button in order to partner with us. Your donations help us to produce more shows, purchase radio time, and do whatever it takes for Changed by Love to reach more people with the gospel. We would also love to hear from you. Please email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. In the next edition of Changed by Love, Pastor Jim will continue teaching through the Gospel of John. Please join us at this same time, and please make plans to join us again to be encouraged, comforted, and challenged by the Word of God. When you write to us, please let us know where the station is, and please give us the station's name. Until then, stay close to Jesus, and we know that you too will be changed by His love.